Folks, even by today's morally lax standards, Joseph's family, Jacob's family, should I say, would cause you to blink. He fathered 12 kids to 4 different women. And the phrase dysfunctional family was invented, did you know, for Jacob's family. What a modern day family therapist would make of it, I hate to think. Studies today in America show that guns are fired at family members, intentionally or accidentally, much more than they are ever fired at intruders. Well, I think that would have been the case in Jacob's family, and had guns existed then, and there would have been nothing accidental about it. This was a family that didn't get on. A house divided against itself. And though the fault lines ran in several directions, the most obvious one was between Joseph and the other 11. Why? Because of a classic case of favoritism, jealousy, and teenage immaturity. Jacob favored Joseph because he was the firstborn of Rachel, his favored wife, and Jacob didn't hide his favoritism. The other brothers were, not surprisingly, immensely jealous. They hated Joseph because of it, and they didn't try to hide that. We're told they wouldn't even speak to him. And Joseph? Well, it seems that Joseph loved being the most popular kid and made no attempt to hide it, and riled his brothers all the more. Folks, the first thing I want you to be surprised about this morning is that God was doing his thing, unfolding his story, working out his plan and purpose through that family. A most imperfect family, a dysfunctional family where folks weren't even speaking together. And yet God was at work through them, unfolding his plan. We need to know that God can do extraordinary things through perfectly ordinary people, through very flawed people, should I say. I guess there are very few textbook families where everything is perfect, and where everything functions smoothly and everyone gets on with everyone else in equal measure all of the time. Even the Waltons had their issues from time to time. Who all remembers the Waltons? Do you remember John Boy? Now he irked me. He was just so sugary sweet. But I do remember even the Waltons falling out from time to time. That's the case in every family. I'll tell you straight, it's certainly the case in our family. Yesterday was Andrew's birthday, and I was taking Andrew and a friend to go-karting down in Perth. And one of his friends had to drop out because he'd been grounded. Obviously, that family had a fallout. And so Elaine said, well, or I think Andrew said, well maybe I'll take Fraser. He can come go-karting instead of the friend. And then Callum heard about Fraser being allowed to go, and he said, why am I not being allowed to go to go-karting? And then Andrew said, well, if Callum comes, I'm not going. I said, well, it's your birthday treat. You've got to go. Folks, that's life. That's real life. But what I say to all of you who are in families, and for those times when family life is not working out just as perfectly as you would want it, it doesn't mean that God's not there. And it doesn't mean that God cannot be at work. Because clearly, Jacob's family wasn't working out, but God was still there. And God was working nonetheless. So be reassured. If you struggle with your family at times, God's there. So you know what happened. Joseph's brothers sold him to slave traders, which was marginally more compassionate than killing him, which had been the first choice. Even then, the brothers couldn't agree what was going to happen to Joseph. So he is sold. He finds himself in Egypt, in the household of an important official, Potiphar. Now here is another family with issues, Potiphar's family. Do you know, cynics think that the Bible is out of date just because it comes from a long time ago. Maybe so, but people have not changed one little bit. Really, the Bible is bang up to date. People are the same. People are sinful. We all are. We can trace it back to the garden, which was chapter one of the story, to our ancestors, if you will. It's been that way forever. Last week, I was up at a concert in Aberdeen, The Killers. They've got this song, Runaway, and there's a great line in it where the singer sings, "I've got this tendency to slip. It's in my blood." I don't know if he knows that he's making the most amazingly true theological statement there. I've got this tendency to slip. Anyone else have that tendency? You do, because you're human. It's in your blood, as the song says. It's in your DNA. It's the way all of us are. We had a wonderful discussion at our Alpha group on Wednesday night. One of the participants in Alpha was saying, "I keep finding myself doing the wrong thing, even though I want to stop." No surprise there. She's human. Well, the issue in Potiphar's family, which was a sinful family like ours, was that Potiphar had a bored housewife who clearly wasn't fulfilled with hoovering and dishwashing. Too much time on her hands. Seriously, too much time on your hands is never a good thing. Again, I say that folks think the Bible is out of date. I suggest to you it is entirely up to date. Potiphar's wife was the first ever recorded desperate housewife. She was way ahead of the game. And when she saw Joseph coming into her household, well, she pursued him relentlessly. Folks, the second thing I want you to be surprised about this morning is this. Joseph didn't relent. Joseph didn't give in to this desperate housewife who wanted him in her bed. He knew it was wrong, and so he refused. What you need to know is this. Yes, we are all sinful people, but sinning is not inevitable, as Joseph proved. Joseph chose to do the right thing, refusing to do what was wrong and to sin against God. Oh yes, we are all flawed. It's in our blood, folks. But not inevitable that we will fall at every hurdle. He refused to sin. He showed moral courage, moral strength in an immoral world. And I want to put it to you that that's what's called for from Christians today. In an immoral world, to live morally, to choose morally. And I do not exclude from that the question of sexual morality, which was at play here with Potiphar's wife and Joseph. I want to suggest that sexual immorality is that which breaks down families quicker than anything else you might care to think about. you let that loose and you watch society dissolve bit by bit by bit. Joseph chose to do what was right. We need folks who will do exactly the same. Well, out of this whole business, Joseph finds himself thrown into prison for something he hadn't done. Now, there's injustice for you. There must have been times when he was languishing there in the prison, when he was caused to wonder, what is all this about? What have I done to deserve this? There must have been times when he was wallowing, or near to wallowing, in self-pity. Why is everything against me? Must have been very close to his lips. Well, close, but not overcoming him. It seems that Joseph actually just learned to get on with it and make the best of things. In life, isn't that actually the only option? When we find ourselves thinking that things are going badly and everything is conspiring against me, isn't really the only option just to get on with it? That's what Joseph did. It was all against him. Injustice after injustice, but he just got on with it and made the best out of it. It's a wee lesson for us, isn't it? Happiness doesn't come from having the best of everything, but from making the best of everything. And that's what Joseph did, and it's a wonderful lesson for life. Maybe in all of that, what helped him to have this attitude was the sense that he wasn't alone. The sense that even there in prison, he wasn't alone. And folks, this is the third thing I want you to be surprised by this morning. To our eyes, Joseph was well and truly abandoned, but he never was. Humanly speaking, yes, but actually, God was there. And God was with him. And I want to say to all of you, especially now, those of you who feel yourself in that kind of place. And there are times when you think God is overlooking you. Where are you when I need you? You need to know that despite what circumstances can look like, God is there. Always. And the amazing thing is that sometimes it's when we're at our lowest, in the depths, that God can really get to work in our lives and can begin to shape us. Which is perhaps not possible for him at other times when we're going along fine and thinking that we're in charge and that we've got everything under control. Then it's difficult for God to break in. But when we are down, that's when so often God can get to work. It certainly was the case with Joseph. There he was in prison. God began to take hold of him and mould him. I wonder if you've ever heard of this guy, Charles Colson. He was a very senior member of the Nixon administration, American administration back in the 70s, and he was very much part of the Watergate scandal. Eventually he was convicted, he pled guilty. Can you imagine the shame and the humiliation? He was the first man to be imprisoned on account of what happened at Watergate. But there in prison, God got hold of Charles Colson in ways that he had never been able to do before. This self-made, confident, assured man. And God got hold of him, and God got to work in him. And he came out from prison a different person. He went on to found the fantastic ministry that is today Prison Fellowship, that is present in almost every country in the world, where Christians are going into prisons, being alongside prisoners and letting them know of the truths of Jesus and of the hope for life. All of that today is there, because when Charles Colson was at his lowest, he was open to God working in his life. You may be down, but you need never be out. God is there. Let him mould you in those difficult seasons of life for everything that he's got in store for you in time to come. So back to Joseph. Many years go by, plenty of twists and turns along the road. Dreams, feasts and famines, a royal pardon, promotion. Eventually he becomes the Prime Minister of Egypt, the Deputy Pharaoh. His world has literally been turned upside down. And then the delicious irony of the story unfolds. Because of the famine, Joseph's brothers end up in Egypt, bowing down and begging before Joseph, only eventually realizing who he is and what is happening. Now, if this was a purely human story, I'm sure the ending would be entirely different. It would be about revenge. It would be about them getting their comeuppance. It would be about justice being done for the terrible atrocity they had committed all those years ago. But it doesn't work out that way, because God is at work in the story. And when God gets to work in the story, things turn out differently to otherwise how they might have. It becomes instead a story of forgiveness and reconciliation against all the odds. Have you had a breakdown in your family? Or with a friend? Is there someone that you don't speak to because of what was said or done some time back? Reconciliation is always possible when we let God get to work. Joseph caught a glimpse of what God was up to. That's why this story turns out differently. He caught a glimpse of what God was up to. I want to tell you, most of the time, most of us never see that. At least, not perhaps until afterwards. Our vision is so often restricted to the immediate and to our particular circumstances. But we need to learn from the story of Joseph that there's always something more going on. Something beyond us. God is at work. And Joseph had glimpsed something of what God was doing. And so he is able to say to his brothers, "You did this to me, but actually, God was working through all of it." And folks, this is the fourth and final thing I want you to be surprised by this morning. Despite what often seems to be going on in this world of ours, in your lives, God is at work, working out his purposes through our lives, and ever able to bring the best of good out of the worst of bad. The best of good out of the worst of bad. Because our God is completely in control. Trusting that in your life, that God is in control, makes all the difference. Won't always help you to understand what's going on at the time in your life, but will help you to bear it more ably. Believing that God is there, God is working despite what's going on. As it was for Joseph, let it be in your life. Well, folks, the rest of the story is the rest of the story. Chapter 3 today, next week we'll go on to chapter 4. Moving from Joseph some generations forward to the story of Moses. Same time, same place. See you next week. Amen. Thanks be to God.